You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Now it's time for our weekly catch-up with the Labour Party's Carmel Cipollone.
Public hearings as part of Phase 2 of the Royal Commission into COVID-19 took place in Auckland this week. Phase 2 of the inquiry focuses on the impact of the long lockdowns in Auckland and Northland on businesses, organisations and individuals. Phase 2 of the inquiry was launched by the current government following the completion of the Labour Party's original inquiry. The second phase of the inquiry has a stronger focus on lockdowns, vaccine mandates, and the impact of the COVID-19 response across business and the economy. And yesterday, an independent reference group set up by the Ministry of Environment shared their recommendations for climate adaptation legislation. A notable recommendation was to phase out government assistance for property buyouts following damage from extreme weather events. For our weekly catch-up with the Labour Party, I spoke to Arianna Williams about both of these topics. I started by asking what her response is to Phase 2 of the inquiry.
I think it was a really difficult time for New Zealanders, as it was for people all around the world, and I want to start by acknowledging that. Thinking about it as how we move forward as a country is important. Chris Atkins has said he's going to give evidence for the inquiry like he did for the first run. I think there are recommendations from the last inquiry which haven't been actioned yet, and they should be, and that's where the focus should be. And, it's worth reflecting on this next part, how New Zealand's response saved a lot of lives and livelihoods, and that we should all be learning from it so that we can do better next time.
Chris Hipkins has expressed some concerns about the terms of reference for the inquiry, as saying it provides a platform for conspiracy theorists. Is that also your view?
I think his concern about the terms of reference is that it's not future-looking. We need to make sure that we're preparing our health system for whatever happens next, that it's well-staffed, that we have the people who have gone through the COVID period and learned those lessons ready to go, that we're not losing our nurses overseas, and that we have enough staff here who are really prepared to look after New Zealanders. I think his concerns are valid, and we need to do everything we can as a country to be prepared for whatever challenges we're facing coming up to the next generation. It's not something which is going to happen in 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. We need to be constantly prepared for the next winter season to face more infectious disease, which is becoming more and more dangerous for our populations.
Should there also be special consideration given to how our most vulnerable populations were impacted by both the pandemic itself and lockdown?
I think that's a really good point, that vulnerable populations in New Zealand and all around the world were affected in ways that we couldn't have predicted, because we'd never dealt with something quite like this before. Yes, we need to consider how it affected everyone, especially young people. There are a number of university students now, people who will be listening to this, and also in their first jobs, who had to do a huge part of their schooling and education disconnected from their peers. We can do that better next time, because we have learned lessons about keeping those connections and about making forums for young people more accessible. It's also a huge set of learning that we have done about protecting elderly populations and people who have health vulnerabilities, and those are great things to bake into our medical system going forward.
Based on what has been recommended so far, what is Labour likely to take on board for future planning?
I think we're very lucky to have people like the Honourable Dr. Aisha Verrill, who is an infectious disease specialist, who also went through that period of really learning how to build out government capability quickly to respond to infectious disease, which is going to be really dangerous for our population. And also people like the Honourable Penny Henare, who led part of our Māori health response and working directly with Māori communities, building a vaccination workforce that was community responsive in sometimes rural areas, hard to reach, and working directly with marae. Those are incredibly useful experiences that both of them have had. In terms of our Pacific health response, I also think working directly with community groups and churches is something that we should bring to a range of our policies going forward. We're really lucky to have people who served through that period who have those expertise. And new people who are bringing the experience of working with community organisations directly on the ground to not only vaccinate, not only make sure that people had what they needed in the community, but also work with those networks that grew up around a time where people were in crisis and can now be used going forward for the benefit of those communities and neighbourhoods.
An expert group has made a series of recommendations on what climate adaptation legislation could look like. Do you see a strong need for this kind of legislation?
I'm really enthusiastic about the sort of recommendations that the expert group has made, but I don't think we are well prepared with this government to take those recommendations forward and really focus on what needs to be done here. We're talking about huge challenges for my generation and yours, Caden, if we don't get this right, and we need to make sure that our law, our regulatory settings, our council rules, everything is set up to respond to the real threat of things like flooding, slips, the changes in weather patterns, so that we can continue to live in our cities and towns.
The report notes that climate change poses a special risk to both low socioeconomic communities and Māori. Are these important considerations when drafting climate adaptation legislation?
I think so. I chaired a select committee inquiry. It was incredibly cross-partisan on the Māori response to climate adaptation in the last term. It was an honour and a privilege to do that. I did it alongside people like Todd Muller, as well as Tama Pōtaka, now serving as a minister in this government. We came up with a set of recommendations about having listened to submitters who were from iwi, from marae, from communities that were rural, about how we should be taking into effect Māori land as well as a Māori worldview when it comes to really important questions around communities that need to adapt. The theme was this, that we need government, community organisations and those people who are affected at the table as early as possible, coming up with not only solutions that are proactive and infrastructure-based, things like building, say, seawalls or changing the way that rivers flow through towns, but also then making the investments to allow these people to be more resilient in their homes, or if they choose to adapt in a different way, to be able to do that so that they have a sense of community going forward. It's not going to work for vulnerable communities if government from the top tells them what to do without working with them directly. And we have to plan for this because it's going to affect a huge number of people in the coming years.
The expert group has also recommended an end to government buyouts for homes damaged by extreme weather events. What is your response to this recommendation?
Well, I was disappointed to see that not coming along with a number of other recommendations that are sort of already playing out on the ground. Councils are well ahead of that sort of recommendation. And I see this as a government burying its head in the sand and pretending there aren't more issues that it could be dealing with directly. But hopefully this report and that finding particularly is a bit of a wake-up call for them, especially the constituency MPs within the National Party who represent communities, because that will be very confrontational for a lot of people. But that is the sort of response that we're going to have if we don't also have other responses in place. We saw recently the Auckland Council having to buy out flood-damaged properties, and they have recently come to some conclusions around the number of those that, with a bit of remediation, have some commercial value. It is a very low number. So we're seeing that, with government needing to step in and help people really badly affected by these situations, if we don't have proactive planning in place and if we aren't allowing for communities to be involved at the beginning of that planning process, then we end up with a really bad situation sort of at the end of it, an ambulance at the bottom of the cliff where government is stepping in and there's not commercial value associated with the properties that are sold. And, what does this mean to young people listening? It means that we will not be able to deal with the challenges that are going to affect us when we are homeowners, when we are renters with families, if we don't actually take steps now to decide what is a fair way to distribute government help, distribute government resources, not just across the country, but across time. We can't afford really gold-plated solutions now if it means that in future there's going to be no government help associated whatsoever, which is what this report is sort of pointing to.
Labor notably didn't implement climate adaption legislation last time you were in power. Is addressing these climate change issues a priority heading into the next election?
I'd challenge that. I think the work for climate adaptations, not only legislation but also in regulation and with councils, was absolutely begun, and we made really great progress on that as a government. The National Environmental Standards, as well as the spatial planning law championed by people at the Honourable Rachel Brooking, really useful. We know that we need to do more work. This is not a three-year problem to solve. This is something that will take a decade to get right. But yes, we have planning and work underway around how climate change and climate adaptation is becoming a real problem for things like insurance, and could leave people without a home at all in future. We're especially concerned about those vulnerable communities, and we are the Labor Party. We believe that our solutions, and when government intervenes, things should be fairer for people, especially those communities that need help. And so we're planning around how we make it possible for first-time buyers, for vulnerable communities, for people with disabilities, for people who are in renting situations with children, to get a fair outcome when they're affected by things like flooding, slips, sea level rises, those things that we know are coming for people.
That was Labor's Arena Williams on phase two of the Royal Commission inquiry into COVID-19 and recommendations from an independent advisory group on climate adaptation legislation.
That was our weekly chat with the Labor Party. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.